This is the Internet Report, where we uncover what's working and what's breaking on the internet and why. Today, I'm joined by Kamal, who is going to help us unpack the Akamai Prolexic outage that happened last Thursday, June 16th. So welcome, Kamal.
Thank you very much. It's awesome to be here with you, uncovering those interesting events on the internet.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so this is Akamai's statement, and they specifically said that this was not due to a DDoS attack. It wasn't due to a system update per se, that it had to do with their routing table. The limitation they had set in their routing table was inadvertently exceeded, and as a result of that, that disrupted their service. And we saw some very interesting things from a routing standpoint, which we'll talk about in just a minute. But at a high level, looking at the immediate impact of the outage, we can see that at 4:20 UTC, so let's see here, there was a really dramatic spike in the number of interfaces that were terminating traffic across the internet. And this impacted service providers like Level 3 and NTT and Tata. And the reason for this was not that these service providers were, had an outage sort of in their network per se. It was really that Prolexic effectively dropped off the internet at 4:20 UTC. And because of that, their peers, and they peer with a lot of major transit providers, weren't able to reach them. And so the traffic was effectively just getting dropped. And so we're registering that, here we can see that, it was a really dramatic spike. Now, what's also interesting is that it didn't last very long. We see this really significant increase. And then there's a little bit of traffic loss after that point. But the biggest impact was just even within those first 5 to 10 minutes of the incident. So we'll kind of take a look at why that is. We look, for example, at how it impacted this major bank in the US and their specific site. We can see that, they had, they started to drop off in availability around 4:20. They were sort of most impacted by it a couple minutes later. We can see that their site is just simply unreachable from around the globe. And then we see availability return just 4 minutes after the incident. So it's an example of one of Prolexic's customers who had a really kind of immediate return to normal service. And one of the things that Prolexic mentioned is that they had some of their customers, they were, they had automated backup and they failed over really quickly, and others it took them a little bit longer and they had to implement manual processes. So we can see here that the outage was due to really significant traffic loss.
I think that's potentially the most interesting aspect of this complete event, how certain companies had the procedure to react quite quickly to these changes, and how certain companies actually took very extended period of time to recover from it.
Right. Yeah, and before we drop down into the routing view, we could just see here when they recovered service, the service provider they're connected to, in this case, we see Level 3, whereas previously it was Prolexic that was front-ending the service, sort of the provider that they were connected to, and all traffic sort of would flow through them to get to this banking data center, web banking sites data center. So now they're connecting through different service providers. And we can see here at a BGP view level how during normal periods they were, all traffic was going through Prolexic here.
Exactly, and which means that obviously, due to how internet works, only best prefixes gets installed, like the best one, right? Even though we can have multiple different prefixes within the routing table, only the best one is selected. And that criteria is determined by a best pod selection algorithm. And here we can clearly see everything working fine. And in next iteration of this particular event, we can see that there's a significant spike in pod changes, right, as a result of which we can see quite big reconvergence on the internet.
Yeah, I think that before we go to that view, we can also see here that Prolexic is there isn't really, for this particular /24, there isn't an alternate path that doesn't include Prolexic. So Prolexic is kind of, you know, they're always going to be in the path. Now, there could be differences, as you said, in terms of the optimal paths, a shorter path, for example. And
let's select any of the collectors on the left-hand side, and let's see the path changes. So here we can see Palo Alto collector reacting to this event. So initial path takes from 10837, goes to the Prolexic before finally reaching 36351. And then the next iteration, we see that 6461 and 2914 entities getting into play at approximately 8 seconds apart, which is quite interesting, right? So we see basically internet reconverging quite quickly. So shortest path disappears, then the next best kicks in, then the next best kicks in, until we see at 4:23:44 UTC route being completely withdrawn. So this is a quite good representation on how quickly internet can reconverge.
Right. So all of these paths were effectively available, and they were sort of, you know, calculated in the routing tables of these service providers. And as this incident took place at 4:20, and they weren't able to reach Prolexic via the original path, they started taking these alternate paths and trying them. And because they weren't working, they just would keep going to the next one. And eventually, you know, it was determined that they just weren't able to reach them through any of these paths. And so there was a withdrawal of the path, you know, so they were no longer advertising it out to their peers. So it's very interesting.
When the withdrawal happens finally, right, this is where it's quite interesting to see how different companies reacted differently based on the internal policies that cover exactly these scenarios.
Right. So if we go to, you know, after this cycling through these different paths in this next view here, we see that for this /24, there is no path. You know, this is, you know, effectively, it's an unreachable prefix, if you will. And we can see that it's simply, you know, if we go further forward, that just continues to be the case. So very interesting, and we can talk about what they were actually doing here in terms of the /24 being advertised under a summary prefix, so a /19.
Yes, so basically what happens here is that there are a couple of different strategies towards which the customers could focus on to resolve this issue. First of all, basically, if the customer is advertising /24 and it's the only prefix that they are advertising towards the internet, then alternatively, what they could have done is to do some traffic engineering and advertise the prefix towards a different ISP or transit provider. So that's the first thing to do. However, doing any traffic engineering takes time, right? So alternatively, what they could have done if this was the only prefix that they were advertising is to have the alternative ISP already in place, so to say. So what would you do in case of ingress traffic if you have two ISPs? Let's say ISP A and ISP B, right? You would advertise ISP A, which is a preferred one, normally, and then you would prepend your 3 times or 6 times your prefix when you are advertising it towards the ISP B. And that would ensure that your ingress traffic is taking always the path to A, because this BGP works in a way as part of which it takes the shortest S path always, right? So that's the ingress path. There's a significant challenge when it comes to egress there, right? This is just half of the picture that we just covered. The second thing is to have the policy, and probably most of the companies do have the policy to avoid asynchronous traffic, right? So if you have the ingress coming over the preferred ISP A, you likely would have egress going over that same pod, right? So what would you do potentially is that you would have an issue again, as part of which now, even though this particular prefix that was going through the provider A in this particular case, that's Prolexic, went off air, disappears from the internet, you would still have a prepended prefix. However, your egress policy would potentially still point towards the Akamai or Prolexic, and you would still have a loss. So there are examples as part of which we can see that even though the traffic is now taking a different path or taking different ASNs towards the target, the loss is still present, right? And that's likely because the egress traffic was still going to the Akamai itself. So in order to avoid that, I think that the fastest way to deal with this kind of situations is just to shut down the peering, right? Now, that would take basically down advertisement from the Akamai, which was already off anyways, and then it would ensure that whatever your egress policy is indicating turns towards the alternative ISPs to send that traffic, potentially replies for the incoming traffic or the alternative ISP. So that's the first.
And that's really only if the only, you know, prefix available to you is a /24. But if you're a very large company and you maybe have, you know, the option to have a summary prefix, then, you can use a different method.
Exactly. So, and that's very commonly done exactly to avoid this situation. So you could have a summary or aggregate prefix advertised to different ISPs. So when your more specifics goes offline, right, you could potentially take the summary prefix to reach the particular ASN that you wanted to reach in the first place, right? So what would have happened in this particular case if the companies were advertising summaries? We saw within the 15 minutes time span that our platform shows as of right now, we saw that basically internet was reconverging through different ASNs trying to find the active path. And once that was not available any longer, basically the prefix was withdrawn. However, if you were to advertise a summary prefix, what we would show is traffic ingressing over that particular summary prefix, right? Now, there are some challenges with that. Like there are challenges in general, like with how you do your routing policies. But the problem here is that, let's say that you have /22 as a summary prefix, and then you are advertising more specific for /24s throughout the different pops or all around the globe, right? What would have happened if you were to advertise those /24s and summaries, right? Where would you advertise summaries? Well, the best approach would be to advertise summary as an anycast, and then you would leave it to the internet reconvergence to identify based on different criteria of how well you peered your pops are on how to route the traffic towards the pop through the summary, and then from the summary to the origin data center. Obviously, that's something that you would need to think of as well.
But this large bank that recovered very quickly within just a few minutes, they had the /24s that were being advertised with Prolexic. They were bundled in under a /19. And when the /24 and Prolexic, all the paths were exhausted and, you know, that convergence occurred and then that path was basically withdrawn, then everything would just automatically flow over to that /19. And so they had a really kind of quick recovery mechanism in place as a result of that. And to your point, the advertising a /19 and any casting that is maybe less precise than advertising a /24 across different pops, but it's better than nothing. You're at least your service is reachable and you can recover very quickly.
Exactly. And at the start of this talk, we actually spoke about how different customers reacted, potentially based on their policy, differently to this event, right? Some of them resolved the event within 3 minutes, some within an hour, and some within 60 minutes or 90 minutes, right? And when it comes to that approach of what do you do in these situations, right? It's something that needs to be carefully verified, investigated ahead of time. So when these scenarios happens, you have like playbook, so to say, or if not the playbook, even better, you have automation to resolve this problem. So when I said that the potentially the best solution for the customers that had alternative routing or alternating BGP policies into place, such as advertising with the prepends or advertising summary prefix, when I said that the best approach to do was to shut down peering sessions with Prolexic in this particular case, it is because of the fact that you have zero maintenance time, so to say, right? There was a clear spike in packet loss, and you could do something like IPSLA or equivalent technologies and other vendors to detect this. And you would, based on that, either shut down or reroute traffic. Now, rerouting traffic based on the traffic engineering takes some planning, right? You need to go into the planning mode. You need to know exactly what you need to do, not to cause bigger problem that you currently have, right? Because you can affect other prefixes that are not advertised over the problematic ISP, right? So when it comes to shutting down the prefix in this particular way, where you have the alternative routing policy into place when for these kinds of situations, I'm a firm believer that it's the fastest way. Obviously, if there was a production traffic and this was a graceful event, I would drain the traffic first, right? Like we would increase iSpot to something that's quite bigger than the alternative pot, or we would shorten iSpot on the other link and manipulate local preferences on these alternative ISPs so that traffic gracefully goes alternatively. But like you are already dealing with quite sudden, quite large spike of loss. And in order to remediate this, it's likely the best way to just shut down the problematic peering so that the reconvergence both within your network, within your ASN, and externally on the internet happens faster. But right. As I said, you need to have the policy already into play to do that, right? Yeah. So where we saw the prolonged events was where the policy didn't exist. Right. Now, we are obviously speculating here, but like nobody likes extended period of time of loss.
Right. And in this particular example, we see that this bank, you know, also a bank that was a customer of Prolexic, was impacted for approximately 90 minutes. Right. So this is an indication there clearly wasn't any kind of automated failover in place. And to your point, traffic engineering, you know, that takes time. Right. So initially we see, you know, traffic loss here. This is, you know, can't even establish a connection because DNS isn't even available at this point. And then we see, you know, they start to have a switchover from Prolexic to, in this case, their provider. We see actually, I believe we have Telstra in here. So there's Telstra. Right. So no longer going to Prolexic. But I think it's even more interesting at the BGP layer to kind of see what they were able to do here, because we see that same issue where there's, you know, this kind of, you know, we see different paths getting installed. And then finally we see a withdrawal. And during this whole period, there's no path to their service.
And I'm quite sure that all of these people that are responsible for these routing policies or are heading these departments would like to have the discussion and engineering discussions about how to do this rather than have a compliance discussions with regulators that they are going about to have, unfortunately, for these kinds of events, right? Because once something such as financial service goes offline for extended period of time, I'm pretty sure that regulators are keeping a wide eyes open and looking at these events, seeing why and what could have you done to prevent this in the first place.
Right. And what's sort of the cost benefit analysis in terms of having a secondary, service kind of already available versus, being offline for this extended period of time. So we can see here when the path is kind of turned back on, it goes from level three to Telstra, and they're using them versus before the incident when everything is going through Prolexic.
In general, like this is one of those issues where there was a graceful failure, right? Last year, we saw an event as part of which one of the tier one providers failed in non-graceful way, as part of which they were blackholing traffic. Dealing with those kinds of issues is much harder than these, right? Here, graceful failure meant that Akamai, even though was receiving these prefixes, it stopped advertising them to the rest of the internet, which allowed for certain workarounds. Now, it's completely something that companies that were advertising these prefixes to Akamai had control over, right? You need to have a backup plan here. And the backup plan, and assuming that you have alternative ISP and being multi-homed, I guess, right? Because you are taking this particular service for DDoS scrubbing services, not for the transit itself, I assume, right? You would have a BGP policy in place, which I already mentioned. You could potentially advertise summary if you have it, right? And then once this happens, you just shut down the more advertisement of more specific one, or you go the alternative way. As part of which you already advertise the prefix in a way that makes it less desirable to route from the internet towards your ASN, right? So you have the longer I spot to reach that prefix over the alternative prefix over the alternative ISP, or what you end up doing is like for the egress traffic, you have the local preference manipulated. Obviously, there is no something that can, there are methods, IPSLAs, there are alternative vendors have other means of doing this. But in general, like potentially the best way to resolve these kinds of issues with a very small amount of automation or with the quick playbooks for the operations team that can be quite easily followed based on the alerts that are raised for the processes.
Yeah, and I think that brings up a good point. You mentioned the CenturyLink outage last year. I mean, this is, if this something like this were to happen, this at least wasn't the worst case scenario, because the worst case scenario would have been that Prolexic went down, but they continue to advertise routes to their customer services, which would have made any mitigation by their customers like extremely difficult, if not impossible. But because they were no longer advertising and those routes were eventually withdrawn, that at least gave their customers the ability to either fall back to their automated, or whatever mechanism they had in an automated way or in a manual way. Obviously, the customers who were least impacted were ones that clearly had some plans in place, and were equipped to deal with an issue like this, versus others where it seemed like they were eventually able to recover. They weren't impacted for, more than 4 hours, like Prolexic outage, but they could potentially have done this in a quicker way and maybe something that should be explored in the future. So really interesting incident. Again, it could have been a lot worse than it was, but it's definitely illustrates kind of the need to have these backup plans in place, and to know that they're available and they're working, because these type of incidents can happen to anyone. It can happen to cloud providers, it can happen to DDoS providers, CDN providers. We've seen this recently with Fastly and others. No one's really immune to these types of incidents.
Exactly. And it's like these things are going to continue happening, right? Like the companies are going to have problems, whether they are cloud providers, CDN providers, doesn't DDoS scrubbing providers, really doesn't matter. These things are going to continue to happen. What's really important is to have visibility into what happened. The second thing is to have clear alerting on based on what happened. You need to have a way to distinguish what's noise and what's real alert. And then the third thing is to have the strategy, whether it's a manual or automatic one, to shorten the impact time to minimum possible time that you can, right? Because ultimately, as I said, these events such as this one are events where something could have been done. And I'm pretty sure that regulators, especially for the financial institutions that are watching this, or that experience this, are not going to be keen on like getting light answers on for this.
Right, absolutely. So really, really important lessons to take away from this incident. So that's all we have time for on the show this week. Thanks, Kamal, for joining us. And you know, we encourage you, if you aren't already subscribed, to subscribe to the podcast. We're on all the major platforms as well as YouTube. And if you do subscribe, you can get a free t-shirt from us. And so drop us an email at internetreport@thousandeyes.com. Let us know you subscribed. Send us your t-shirt size and your physical address, and we'll get that right over to you. So until next time.